Hello everyone, a very good evening is what I normally say, but today it's a very, very bad evening as I sit here on a Zoom call with three heartbroken men just trying to make some sort of sense of what happened yesterday. My name's Julian Roberts. The mood is flat today. Tom Walker, how are you feeling?
You don't seem flat at all.
Oh dear. Oh, still good news about the FSA award nomination, don't it? Oh, you're still thinking about the bad news, aren't you?
Oh god.
Yeah, feel quite numb to it, to be honest. Heartbroken is not necessarily the word I'd use, because I feel like that is an emotion you feel when you concede a late goal.
Sure.
Like an absolute gut punch. This was more kind of a continuous and quite aggressive sledgehammer blow to the face.
Yeah, right.
We'll go through it. I can't add anything else, to be honest. Wow.
The first text I received this morning was from George saying, I can't believe you lads have got to do a pod on this. And one of the first questions we received is quite similar. Casper, how are you feeling about it all?
Not good, mate. No, not good. As we were saying just before we started, the midday kickoff's really weird as well, right?
So brutal.
It's not only has that happened and it was extremely painful, and I'm looking forward to getting forensic on it in a minute, but then you're home at like 2:30 as well, and you're like, shit, what the hell am I supposed to do with the rest of this day? I mean, you lads obviously, you had the right idea, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think when I say heartbroken, it's probably just speaking for myself for the session that I put myself through to try and forget about it after the game. We were back in London at 2:30 before the 3 o'clock had even kicked off.
Quite surreal being on a moving train, still watching the live updates from the game coming in.
Yeah. hearing about the fifth goal while you're buying cans at the train station.
Oh, five, is it? Okay, gosh. Fine.
All right. Leave that on goal, is it? Oh, okay. Cool.
Good. Pile it on.
Daniel asks, why on earth are you bothering with the pod this week?
I kind of think that question could have just been, why on earth are you bothering?
Yeah.
That's full stop.
Yeah. Or just, you know, why this week? Why bother with the pod? That's it.
There was a funny moment in the second half where we'll talk about this, and probably this will come up, but Tom was pushing quite heavily to leave, and it was against my instincts to leave a football ground on the 55th minute. I'm not saying Tom was wrong, but it was against my instinct. And then there was a point where the posh fans are singing like, well, why the fuck are you still here? And I was like, no, that is actually quite a good point. Why the fuck? Why am I still here?
4-0 down, back to town. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Also, we did, because I left about 79 or so, but we had a mad conversation. Like the 1 minute of dialogue that you have in the build-up to actually leaving is always just hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
For some reason, we're 4-0 down at this point. We barely touched the ball. And we're like, all right, let's go. And then I think we want to throw like near the halfway line. We're like, oh, hang on, just wait a sec. What's going to happen here?
Like, yeah, Tom was speaking to me with such logic. He was like, honestly, what are you expecting to happen? Like, do you genuinely, like, he was like, convince me, honestly, because I'll happily stay. But we haven't scored 3 goals in a league match for like since Cheltenham away in 2021 or whenever that was. Yeah. So there's no thought.
It was kind of at the point as well where I wouldn't have felt any guilt. You know, we obviously left shortly after the 4th goal, but I wouldn't have felt any guilt if on the way back, sort of walking back towards the station, we had pulled it back. I wouldn't have felt any guilt, because I'd just been like, there was no reason for us to stay in that football.
Whoa, you say pulled it back, you mean four, as in score 4 times?
4-0 is a dangerous scoreline.
It's a dangerous scoreline. If 2-0 is dangerous, then 4-0 is twice as dangerous.
Yeah, I know. I've got to say, though, as well, you know, like a really good reason for leaving early is like obviously avoiding some of the, you know, like the police aggro, and then like being kept in for a bit or whatever we were expecting to happen. And then we saw a friend of ours who'd stayed till the end, met us in the pub, and he goes, what was it like getting out? He was like, piece of piss, mate, everyone had left. it's like 100 of us got leaving the ground on full time. Okay, right, let's do some therapy. Let's talk about this game of football. I'm going to start here. Same guy, Daniel, has asked us a bunch of questions. He said, is it the worst 6 minutes of football you've ever seen? I'm going to broaden that out a little bit. is it the worst 10-minute use spell you've ever seen? And if not, what's up there? So we had a contender, Harrogate. I think the three goals were within about a 10-minute spell from my memory.
Shit.
I haven't actually checked that.
I didn't think about that somehow. I've completely blanked that out of my mind. What happened at Harrogate?
any advances on that off the top of your head? Any 10-minute spells that come close to that?
I can't mean worse than that. The stuff that I went back to was that Alfreton FA Trophy game.
Oh, it's like
5-3.
It ended 6-3 to them.
6-3, yeah.
They scored, like, we were like 3-1 up, I think, or something like that, late on. And then they scored two in like 6 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then obviously tipped us over in extra time. Like, they just kept scoring in extra time, which objectively is maybe more depressing than going to like a playoffy title contending team and getting thumped. But. I don't know.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think that's as bad as I've seen. It's also one of those moments, you know, when you're in a football ground and you, especially like a busy one, and you can sort of feel momentum going against you. It's mad that you can't stop it. Right? It feels like there's nothing. You feel so powerless. It's like, oh well, they're like running all over us here. I sort of felt a little bit at the end of that Shrewsbury game at home. Do you remember Shrewsbury? Sort of after they equalised, they like in injury time, there was just like this sense of like, God, this game's got to finish soon because it's just like, it's waves and waves and waves. All right, Tom, general thoughts. Omalu asks, in terms of everything, was that the worst Cambridge performance we have seen since going back up? Start there, maybe.
Yeah, because I think, you know, there's a tendency to kind of go, well, look, if it was a Bolton or if it was kind of a Sheffield Wednesday, as we've done, you know, you wouldn't kind of feel this bad about it. You'd kind of... you'd kind of dust yourself down and just think, well, these things happen, sort of thing. Unfortunately, context is everything in football. It was just an embarrassment, wasn't it? There's not really any other way to put it. Particularly liked on the club social media account. Absorbing contest so far, 32nd minute.
Oh, no.
0-0. 8 minutes later. Goal, Peterborough, 3-0. I think...
I took it. Do you remember, Jules? I took that screen grab because I had three tweets in a row.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was goal, Peterborough. Goal, Peterborough. Just sent it to my mates. I was like, yeah, it's not going well, lads.
Not going well.
I think my overriding sort of emotion from the game and look, you know, obviously I mentioned there that, you know, context is everything, but look, clearly Bosch are a team that have the ability to blow teams away. You know, particularly the players that hurt us. Can hurt any team in this league. That's, you know, something that you accept kind of going into it. But even considering that, I mean, it's certainly from a Cambridge United perspective, I can't think of a time that I've just seen us totally, totally capitulate. And the reaction to conceding one goal is probably the most worrying thing going, right? Because, you know, you concede a goal, you go behind, it's really frustrating. There's obviously things that can be done better, which I'm sure we'll pick apart. But literally from our own kickoff, you know, the ball's played back to Stevens. It's a slightly underhit pass, and he comes absolutely flying out of goal. And, you know, at that point, you're thinking, fuck me sideways, just get in as soon as you can. One, I was actually stood next to Jordan Warland, obviously, off this parish. And I turned to him at 1-0 and said, just get in at 1-0, just get into half time 1-0 and pick it up and go again second half. I turned to him 3 minutes later and said, just keep it 2-0. Just keep it 2-0. And at 3-0, it was just like a shrug of the shoulder, just like, oh, well, it doesn't matter, does it? Yeah, I think, it almost feels like kind of a really easy thing to say because, you know, the scoreline in many ways kind of tells the whole story, and particularly the sort of post-match stats, things like XG, for example, you know, they kind of tell the story pretty well. But I just can't think of really a single aspect of the afternoon that went well from our side. I can't think of anyone at all that comes out of it with any credit, to be honest. I thought from the manager through to pretty much all the players, I thought it was a pretty embarrassing afternoon. And, you know, there was a lot of chat from the club, you know, statements being released pre-match, you know, make sure that you conduct yourselves in the right way. Felt like there was a lot of effort being put onto fans to kind of...
ruin the day.
It said don't ruin it. That's the tweet, which I think they deleted, said don't ruin the day, lads.
Yeah.
And even before the game, we were stood there like, that's got a bit of potential to come back at us, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously there's different aspects you can get at and sort of pick apart. And you know, I just think it comes down to people not doing their jobs properly. And I guess you kind of have to give a bit of credit to Posh. You know, obviously won the game 5-0, so, you know, well-deserved winners. But, you know, the way that they kind of smelt blood after the first goal and just totally, totally took us apart was pretty ruthless, to be fair. And look, that's what you know, good teams at this level can do to you. It's obviously compounded by the fact that it's, you know, Derby Day, and you know, it's literally the last fixture that you want to go like But yeah, I think it's one where, you know, we're obviously recording quite late on Sunday. I would like to think that the players have been in from quite early on today, just rewatching it all, because it's a case where a lot of people need to probably just have a bit of a look at themselves in the mirror and just think, like, am I doing what I need to do? Am I doing, like, the basics of my job to the right level that mean that I deserve my pay this week? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And they've just got to start taking some individual responsibility and have a bit of accountability for it, I think.
I think also we've had a couple of people ask this. Steve and Simon both asked about, should we take the emotion of the derby out of it, basically? Like, is that something for you, Casper, that is important here? Because, you know, if we'd have gone to Pompey, Oxford, Bolton, whatever, and you lose 5-0, obviously you're not happy about it. But the word's embarrassing and shameful, and it's probably like a slightly different narrative right afterwards. But I think that's massive. I think if you can't get up for the club you're representing, their biggest game and the fans' most important game, I'm not necessarily saying they can't. I'm sort of, you know, hypothetically, I didn't see the sort of passion and application that was going to be those intangible things that we spoke about in the preview pod would be, if we were going to get something from this game, we'd have to play it on those terms, right? We'd have to make it a game where we wanted it more than them, like we did in the home leg at the Abbey last year. Because obviously, you know, they've got quality players, they've got a bigger budget than us. So, like, you sort of have to play it in that context, right? Like, we're putting passion first. We've got Cambridge United manager, Cambridge United fan as a manager. That's got to be where the benefit would come from for a good performance. But do you think that's important to you, like it being in the reflection, it being a derby game?
Yeah, I think it's massively important, right? Like, I think obviously we're a podcast, but as football fans, there's a real temptation where people feel like you have to be like pragmatic or whatever. Like, no, absolutely not. Like, here, like, this is, it's Bonner's job. Like, the club pros need to be pragmatic and obviously say, look, bad day at the office. Hands up, you know, not good at all. But it is just another football game. There are 46 of them in the season that are going to determine, you know, how we end up. But no, it's not our job to do that, Jules, to be honest. Like, we are just a set of fans. And I would say, yeah, like, sure, Posh are a really good side. We saw the very best of them, I think. That's probably their best performance of the season, mixed with our worst performance of the season, mixed with a bit of bad luck, because I think it's maybe even 2 own goals. I'm not even sure that the big deflected goal is necessary even on target. So, like, and maybe a bit offside for the second one. So I genuinely think all the luck has actually run against us. You do make your own luck. We were sat on our ass, and when you sit on your ass in a football game, you get punished, right? Mm-hmm. But like, this whole idea that we need to be like pragmatic and say it's just another game is like, that's club narrative, right? That's not like,
completely agree.
It's not how I felt at all. And I think for us, you know, the next time we play Peterborough, and certainly for the next few years at least, we're going to enter that game as underdogs every single time. And for us, probably the biggest advantage we can get, you know, playing one of the sort of playoffy promotion chasing teams in this division, is that it's a local derby and that we need to be up for it. And we're going to have, you know, 1,600, 1,700, 1,800, however many fans we're going to have, you know, at the game. This should all be able to theoretically play to our favour, right? It's something we won't have when we go to Bolton, that, you know, we'll have a big away crowd and, you know, there's a bit of an emotional edge to the game. It'll just be us going to like Bolton or when we went to Wednesday. So, like, I mean, I know we're going to talk about it, but where are the yellow cards? Like, I've just looked at the stats. We gave 5 fouls away in the second half. Like, it sounds a bit old school, but it's like, especially, to be honest, when you've gone 1-0 down like that and you're on the ropes a bit, where are the tactical fouls? Like, where is the slowing the game down? You know, massive problem for us on Saturday was not being able to retain the ball at all. We just couldn't hold on to the ball anywhere, it felt like, to be honest. And that is just going to cause a huge amount of pressure. But, like, you know, Akenabiri needs to... I said I wasn't going to single anyone out. Akenabiri, among all of them, they were all rubbish, right? This to be clear. No one was better or worse than anyone. They were all absolutely fucking terrible, to be honest. But if he can't hold the ball up even slightly, then it's going to keep coming back. And when you've just conceded a goal and there's momentum against you, you just desperately need that bloke on the halfway line to be, you know, putting his back in and winning a foul and doing something. You know, I don't want to regress and we shouldn't compare this way, but it's like, would Joe Ironside be like winning a foul or even giving one away or doing something to slow the game down? Do you know what I mean? Mm, it's like yeah. all of that. But so, yeah, to be honest, I mean, general thought for me, I just felt really embarrassed. That's actually one of the most embarrassed thing I've ever felt. And that sounds ridiculous because we're in League One now. And we are in the sort of mid-table, lower mid-table, and there's tons to be proud about, right? But I can't help how I felt. I just, because it was a derby and you've got to stand there and look at all the home fans right nearby. And the game is just so gone as well. Like after 40 minutes, just stood there thinking like, you know, just,
yeah.
I'm not sure what.
I was sort of thinking like keep it under about 7, probably be pretty happy.
I just convinced myself in the second half that the whole game would just sort of go flat, if you know what I mean, and that Posh would just kind of relax. And I think to a degree they did, yeah. but we were just so poor even in the second half. And I think the application in the first half was fine. I think in the second half, I think it was very difficult. Obviously, it's a really tricky situation to be in, but I was pretty concerned by how we had responded. Like, you know, it's a bit old school again, but the narrative, you know, if you're 3-0 down, always the chat for me in any halftime situation was like, right, forget that. Mm-hmm. Pretend it's 0-0. You just go and try and win the second half. You know what I mean? You just go and like, just try and score. That's it. Like, we owe the fans something. This will sound mad as well. This is definitely derby psychology. Once we were like 4-0 down, I was saying to the lads around me, I actually don't want us to score here. I don't want us to score because I don't want the first time I see us score at London Road to be this like
consolation
point. Well, it wouldn't even be a consolation. No, it would just be this pointless goal. That's just like not even polishing a turd. Literally just like, I wouldn't have moved an inch if we'd scored. Do you know what I mean? Which is mad. And it's not how in my head, you know, it's naive, I guess, after all these years watching United. It's not how I assumed that us scoring at London Road would go. So actually, I was sort of relieved that we didn't score, which sounds ridiculous. And then if you're going to get thumped, and again, this will sound mad and goal difference could be important, so it's definitely illogical, go and do it properly so that it is actually embarrassing so that they have to take a long look at themselves, right? I know Bonner said after the game he's relieved. He wanted us to have a game on Tuesday so we could rebound, but fuck me, on the train afterwards, I was like, thank God, I don't have to go back for 2 weeks. And I was really properly like, I need a break, as in, that's really, yeah, it wasn't good.
I think you're spot on with literally everything you've just said, that it's a completely different context when it's a derby game. So we should analyse it as such. And they should take more blame and more stick for it as such, because that is the thing. It is the most important game to us. So that we have to emphasize and that. That's the way it is.
If you want to then get pragmatic, which we will, and it's too raw at the moment, but it's good that we got 2 weeks. Reset Northampton. It needs to be a massive wake-up call. You can draw some humor from these situations, right? Because you might as well. Someone said on Saturday, I can't remember who it was, should get him in for training this afternoon. He'll be back in Cambridge by like 3 p.m. Could you imagine?
Straight to Clare College with you.
Little double session.
Sort of thing Richard Money might do. Just like, you're right, everyone on the bus, we're going to Clare College.
Right, look, I know you said in that little monologue of yours that we're not going to single out players, and normally I don't like singling out players, but we are going to do it. We're going to have to single a couple of people out, because I think there's three in particular that I've got my mind on. One inspired a little bit of debate on Twitter, so Tom, I'm going to give you this one. I know it's someone that you've talked about quite a lot on the pod recently. Danny asks, I really, really hate to ask this, but I'd be interested in people's perspectives. Is Liam Bennett up to League One standard? He seems to be getting targeted with overloads down our right every week, which, to be frank, is working. Is it time to drop him for a period at least? Obviously, who thought would be another question, but talk to me about Liam Bennett.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I think he's shown that he's capable at this level. There you go. There's your positive. But yeah, I think the difficulty that I've got is that, you know, when you see a lot of chat about a player who, you know, a lot of our fans were suggesting is going to be signed by clubs at higher levels and go for huge fees and stuff like that, You kind of expect they can do at least the basics of the game properly on a consistent basis. He's defending just all round. Like, he looked like a child. Like, it's just like a total lack of being able to just do any of the basics of the game properly yesterday. You know, their first goal is absolutely case in point, and, you know, obviously bring someone else in for a bit of criticism as well and a goalkeeper. But, you know, you're in for a tough afternoon against Mason Clarks. He's a good player. He's a tricky player. But, like, if you watch the highlights back, when that cross goes in towards Mason Clark, Bennett's nowhere near it. And you're just asking, like, you know, as at the very least, like, work hard and don't let him out of your sight, basically. And every run he makes, you make the same run, sort of thing. And, you know, to be that far off him at that point in the game, I just can't quite get my head around, really. I think he had a decent start to the season, but I think of the last couple of months, there was a bit of an upturn, you know, for a couple of games. But I think he's been pretty poor for a little while, to be honest. And yeah, God, like, you'd love to have an option, you know, a viable long-term option there that you can, you know, basically puts a bit of a rocket up his ass. Like, I don't necessarily question the desire or the application with Liam Bennett, because clearly there is an obvious graft there, I think, for the most part. But, like, it can't be healthy to, you know, or a good situation to be in for a young developing player to basically just have, like, an absolute near on guarantee that regardless of performance, you're going to be, you know, one of the first names on the team sheet every week. Good player as he is, you know, got good qualities going forward. But yeah, he was miles off it, and quite literally miles off it at points.
Thing that frustrates me a little bit is also, like, this is something that's going to sound like hindsight, but it was a conversation that's being had a lot over the summer. It's like, well, we don't have anyone that we could put there. I mean, yeah, Okadina, but first of all, is it on all the same things you just said about Liam Bennett in terms of being, like, young and a bit naive that also apply to Jubril. I'd love to have someone like George Williams knocking around the squad, someone who's, you know, 250 League One appearances, lots of experience in big games like this. That would be an amazing option for me. Casper, what do you reckon? There's a flip side on Twitter on the Bennett debate. Steve said, the ongoing Bennett and Andrew aren't good enough, needs to stop. We don't give them midfield help in front of them. Brophy tries a bit. Gordon, Itau don't. The issue defensively is tactical, not individual. Our midfield simply isn't good enough. It's not the fullbacks. But actually, funnily enough, there was a posh fan called Tom in our Twitter who replied, saying he was left one-on-one to defend against arguably the best winger in the league. He was also your only player trying to actually drive forward till he made subs at 4-0 down. He's the least of your worries, in my opinion. It's interesting, isn't it, how, like, people who watch Bennett for the first time or don't watch him a lot, he's often him that they single out with praise. But people who watch him every week, sort of the opposite. Where's your head at with him?
Yeah, I think it's not a lack of effort on anyone's part, I think, including the wingers as well. I think it's at times just naivety and a complete lack of, like, footballing intelligence that's going on. I actually don't think, like, even Janne, Gordon, no, they don't provide enough cover, but I don't think it's through, it looks like lack of concentration, do you know what I mean? And a lack of understanding and appreciation of when we're not in possession of the ball, where they need to be setting up. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a lack of effort there. I do think the fullbacks are getting stitched completely. And the thing, I think we talk about the wingers a lot, but one thing I've always mentioned, same like way back with the mistake Danny Andrew made at Orient, centre midfield needs to take some accountability as well. If you're starting a double pivot and one of those holding midfielders can't, like, patch across and help the fullback, then it doesn't make any sense to me at all. Like, if you have two holding midfielders, the fullback should not be getting exposed like that, because your holding midfielders should be dropping into pockets, either allowing them to go wider and actually, like, you know, sort of get a bit closer to their man and they sink into the gap behind, or actually just pushing across. Like, they need to be doing more, and the wingers need to be doing more as well. I mean, Tom articulated it really well on the preview show. He kind of said the wingers are going to be, you know, they're going to go for it. They'll have watched the footage and they know that the wingers are going to be the main point of threat, and then obviously they both scored twice, right? So which is painful when you think about it.
Utterly predictable, isn't it?
It's just, well, apparently yeah. So yeah, you can't, it's,
you
not
have got to laugh at it a little bit, you know. It's like, even we can pick that out, like, okay, they've got two good wingers, so that's probably, you know, that's gonna be a area to focus on. What happens? Oh, you fall down. And
the thing is, it is hard because, I mean, there's knowing it's a threat and then there's knowing, you know, it's actually knowing how to deal with it. But I do think, you know, we're talking about individual players when there is like all round accountability needed. Again, I'm not going to rag on Akenabiri, but if the ball isn't sticking up top, then we will not have possession. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to keep the ball for very long, quite simply. I mean, the wingers also didn't feel very liberated yesterday. We were together in the first half, Jules, and we were just desperately saying, like, there's you're not going to get anything out of Janne, frankly, unless you're setting him off into, you know, space. Just push him, you know, set him off into space. I don't think we really did it a single time. And what that leaves with Saiki Janne is you're asking him basically to sort of be not really a winger, but just be a wide midfielder. He's not providing great cover. I don't think he's technically, like, you know, really strong in that position. I want him, like, running at people and free. So again, there aren't any outlets. Like, if there are no outlets, then you're simply going to turn the ball over really fast, which is what we did the entire time. And if you're turning the ball over really quick and the team on the other side of the pitch is, you know, as good as Peterborough, it's painful, but they just looked really good. If you continuously give them the possession of the ball and then space, like, not enough pressure on the wingers, and they're two of the best wingers in the division, then, you know, it's inevitable. Like, yes, some of the goals they've scored are a little bit lucky, but they had so much possession and pressure and dominance. You know, their possession in our final third in the first half, especially in that 15-minute period, must have been 80% or something ridiculous, 70%. Stuff's going to happen, right? It's just, you know, it's just inevitable at that point.
100%. Let's move on to those strikers in a second. But before that, you mentioned holding midfielders and the central midfield areas being another area that can help cover fullbacks. Now, this is a point that I banged on about yesterday multiple times.
I bet you did, mate. In the pub.
In the pre-kick as well, by the way. Pre-kickoff.
Pre-game, and then in the pub.
And then I was on like times 100 afterwards, mate. Someone put me in fucking overdrive. You know, do we have... Okay, first question for you, Caspel. Do we have a very good championship level centre defensive midfielder in our squad?
If there is one,
just go off his appearances and where he's played the vast majority of his career.
I mean, it's Cousins for me, but maybe you're... Jordan Cousins that's it, right?
Jordan Cousins, yeah, very important player for a game where you're not going to have a lot of the ball, I would say, as was seen at home to Pompey, for example, right?
Well, you're setting up a trap here.
I'm setting up a trap here. Now, do you think it would be smart to play a guy like that who's going to be very important to us, probably one of our best footballers with the best CV coming into the club, will have experienced loads of these sorts of games as well, would be really, like, really smart sort of player to help, you know, help stop bits of momentum going against you and, like, give away little fouls and run the game properly. Do you think it would be smart if the week before the derby
I've seen where you're going with this now, yeah.
we play him against a bunch of semi-professional, you know, part-time plumbers, part-time footballers in an FA Cup game. Do you think that would be smart?
All I'm sad about there is that people can't see your facial expressions and the amount of pointing you were doing during whilst you were making that point.
I honestly think, though, like, I'm fully with this. I think this goes back to that Bracknell game because, and I said it when the lineups came out that day, it makes no sense for me to be playing Jordan Cousins in this game. And I'm all for playing a strong team in the cup. Absolutely. But there is a middle ground, right? You can rotate two or three who you want to protect for, you know, the biggest game of the season coming up next week. And Cousins getting injured that day and not making Saturday. I'm not saying we'd have won or lost that game. I'm not saying we'd have won that game with Jordan Cousins. But I am saying that we gave ourselves a much less of a chance of getting anything from it. And then his solution to that is to play Adam May in that role to keep Digby as this sort of number 10, like, almost like enforcer, high-pressing enforcer. He was playing, like, I stood with you first half, Caspel. He was playing basically next to Fijiri at points rather than the ball. It's just, sometimes I feel like with Bonner, that this is something we spoke about after the Carlisle game, he finds that system that he likes and he just plays it every week, no matter if the players are available to play it and no matter who the opposition is. And I think the system would have worked if we had Jordan Cousins in that position. Or if you're going to play that system, you've got to play Digby deeper because Adam May isn't naturally that player. And he had a horror show. He had a terrible, terrible game. The fourth goal is horrible from him. It's so bad. The other centre midfielder to talk about, so that's that point, right?
Did you ask a question at any point there? Or just...
This is the question. No, that's just me making a point. I had to make that point.
Okay.
I was fuming about that yesterday. Anyway, this is the question I've got for Tom. The other centre midfielder, who I don't think affects games enough or hasn't done recently, is George Thomas. Simon asks, why do you think George Thomas looked like the best midfielder in the league after six games or so and now has zero impact on games?
I can tell you. I couldn't tell you. This kind of goes back a little bit to what Casper was saying earlier about sort of tactical fouls. It's not a point on, let's say, George Thomas's impact in the game, but you know the fourth goal is obviously a horror show all round, and obviously it's one centre mid, Adam May, who just frankly bottles a challenge, and he's just, while Posh sort of breaking away, he's like rolling around on the floor, you know, just get up, do your job. But then George Thomas is in a pretty decent position to just absolutely clean out the players sort of running through with the ball. And, you know, this has been a real bugbear of mine since the game yesterday. Cass brought it up about essentially the fact we've got no bookings. Like, if you're going to lose that game 5-0, you walk off of eight men on the pitch and you've left one in on some of their players. And I don't mean that in a way that, you know, we're going out to like end careers or whatever, of course, but, you know, you've got to be sticking challenges in left, right and centre if you're going to lose a game in that fashion. But it's a bit weird with George Thomas because, like, the drop-off has been really stark. Like, honestly, earlier in the season, he was playing this deeper role. And let's not forget, this deeper role is like a newer thing for him. So you could argue that he's been played out of position so consistently that he did quite well at the start, but now he's just a bit like, well, I'm playing out of position. Like, it's not typically been my role, like more of like an attacking player. And the optics of it are quite bad when you've got Digby playing as a number 10 and Thomas, who I'd associate more with that role, sitting deep, not looking comfortable. And you know what? Like, we can, you know, we're going around and we're sort of analysing bits on the pitch and sort of picking things apart. But like, we can see it, but the manager doesn't do anything about it. We're talking about fullbacks being exposed earlier. That happens every week, right? Why is he not changing the system? Especially when you know that Posh, the main threat is out wide. Why not change it there? You know, why are we talking about the same issues about lack of creativity every single week? Why aren't you doing something different to try and impact the outcome? Even against Bracknell, we didn't create much. And it's because you're playing in a system which isn't going to set up to, like, it's not going to create any chances. And obviously chance creation is kind of the, you know, I guess in some senses, the kind of least of our worries from the game at Bosch, because obviously it's all about the other part of the pitch, I suppose. But, you know, we're kind of going over like quite big kind of bits of the team and saying, well, why is that not quite right? Why is this not quite right? Well, maybe it's just the system they've been set up in. And, for George Thomas, like, I mean, you can, you know, this kind of goes for both centre mids. I mean, you would love to have an option there to just change it, particularly after the fourth goal. And, you know, to me, it's a total embarrassment that, like, you know, you've got a bench that's not even filled and you've got a fit and available centre mid who's not even making the squad. It seems just absolutely barking mad to me. And like, particularly in a game like that, because, I mean, you know, he said that Kai was a late dropout for whatever reason, right? And I'm not being funny. How far away is Cambridge, right? Yes. I think Lewis Simper lives in Ely or around there. Certainly did. Ely U and all that. Even if he drops out right at half two and you know he's on the side, just get to the ground, at least sit on the bench. Like, you know, and even if you end up getting there at half time, like, you're not realistically going to make that sub before then, I guess you could argue it might have been needed. But it's just really bad optics, I think, across the whole thing. Like, you know, and, you know, again, like, we're picking through the bones of it and it's all a bit of an embarrassment, but, yeah, I don't know. It's a difficult one to kind of sit here and analyse, and I just think it comes back to the fact that, you know, I don't really want to get drawn into sort of in or out discussion, but I think it comes back to the fact that there's certain limitations to Bonner's management that have been pretty evident for a long time. And for all the stick that we give to someone like Darren Ferguson, for example, it's a pretty easy afternoon at the office for him because he's out working a coach who's probably not as good as him. And that's the facts. And I think, you know, we can pick out loads of individual players and we can pick out, you know, running themes in the squad. But unfortunately, if nothing's been done about them, nothing's going to improve.
First sub on 64 minutes as well, by the way.
We've kind of pussyfooted around these things for ages. Like, just, I'm just kind of quite sick of talking about it now. And clearly this is like something that's quite sort of, you know, clouded by the emotion of the game that it was and how it obviously turned out. But fuck me, like, do your job properly. You're 3-0 down at half time, change something. Like,
yeah, yeah, I wanted like statement sub. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm saying that we had the bench for it, but you want to see like 3 or 4 changes at half time just because, like, in a way, it's daft. The game's gone, but it's like, don't risk anyone who's got an injury, but it's just optics at that point. And some people in that first 45 minutes, you just get hooked. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you've done your job that badly, you simply, partly to protect yourself, as in, like, just get up, you know, the mental damage, but also just to show the fan base, in a way, it sounds ridiculous. It's not why they make all the, you know, it's not why you make subs, but sometimes you have to be, again, be pragmatic, like we were saying earlier, like, just do something to manage, like, the optics of that situation, basically.
Like, you can see in that, particularly obviously in the period where they score their 3 goals, but even up until half time, like, you can see football's happening to us. Like, we're having no impact on the game. And it's like, how many times have we sat here and talked about, like, a lack of proactivity, a lack of ability to make changes, to implement games? Like, it's just so low level. Like, it really is. It's Sunday league stuff, really. Like, you know, you look at, like, the amount of games we've been behind in since coming back into League One. I can't remember exactly what the stat is, but it was something like we've come from behind to win once in, like, our entire time in League One, and we've only come back to get something out of games, like, a handful of times.
3 times, I think it was, out of,
like,
30, I think,
yeah. You know, again, like, we can sit here, we can pick apart individual performances, and we can talk about, you know, one game, which, you know, it's obviously the game, but it's... But it is still just one game. We're not just talking about one example here. We're talking about a structural thing that just hasn't got better, really, in obviously the entire time we've been in League One. And, you know, obviously we're here to talk about passion. Obviously, that, you know, that's one that I guess we have to pick apart. But, you know, you can go back to so many other examples where, look, it ends up being 5-0, right? But Posh could have scored that first goal and got the deck chairs out, because we're not going to be able to... Well, we've shown routinely that we can't impact games having gone behind, because the setup is the setup. And if we go behind, then we're a bit stuck. And if we go 1-0 up, which is obviously clearly the ideal scenario, then maybe you give yourself a chance because of the way that we can sit in and just make things awkward for teams if we are ahead. But that is not a good enough way to manage the team for me.
It can't be done and dusted when a team scores one goal. That can't be the mentality that we have as fans and that they have as players. But this is,
we were quite sporting to give them a few more as well, to be fair.
Yeah. This is something that I think has got worse, if anything. We had a couple of questions on this. Wade asked, should the club have a competition for a plan B? The winner, Bonner will have to use. And Charlie says, why do we capitulate every time we go 1-0 down? And why over the last year or so does the team seem to lack all desire in away games? I think the desire questions may be slightly different to what I'm trying to ask, Casper. But I mean, this lack of plan B, you know, that first goal goes in. It's not just yesterday, but take yesterday's game. First goal goes in, I just go, all right, okay, well, that's that done. There's no part of me that thinks that we're going to have a way of getting back into a game. And I'm yet to be proven any differently. Like, how do we get back into games? Look at Cheltenham. Like, it doesn't seem like he knows what a plan B might be. Cheltenham's probably a better example because he was just lobbing players on the pitch at the end of that game. He didn't have a clue where they were playing. I mean, this is a really big issue, surely, Casper.
Yeah, it's a big issue. Definitely a big issue. I don't know, again, that everything from the questions that are coming in, I don't think it's all entirely fair, if you know what I mean. I've got, like, I know it's bad. The stats are horrific, right? I think changing in game is something that Bonner did very well in League Two when we were getting promoted. I think it's something he showed real adeptness with, like making like in-game changes, not even subs, but just moving stuff around really effectively. Yeah.
He did like Mullin on the left a lot, didn't he? And then like moved in between playing up top or on the left.
Just,
and like Wes.
Just a lot of creative thought. And then maybe it's the personnel that we had. Because if you've got like Mullin and, you know, you've got Wes Hoolahan as well, then you've arguably got maybe players who are a bit more capable of that. Mm-hmm. We're in League One now. We're not in League Two. It's definitely a lot harder, right? Like 5, 6, 7 teams at the top of this division are just very difficult situations for us. I don't think it's entirely fair, the plan B stuff this season, because this 4-1-4-1, which obviously did not work on Saturday, is pretty new and it has been working, and we did get a point against Portsmouth a couple of weeks ago, so it's like,
has it been working?
But that's like, the plan A though. I don't have a problem with the plan A. When we go behind, what does he do to change the game? What he did yesterday was put Digby back in the number 4 role and swap and put Mayfield forward. That's how we should have started anyway.
I don't think we had a lot Well, I don't think we had a ton of options from the bench yesterday. I'm not saying it's not good. Like, I am with you guys completely, and it is very dispiriting. And obviously we're a group of blokes that go up and down the country, and it's not a good feeling. Like, I've not seen us win away yet. I obviously missed Fleetwood, right?
So yeah,
like,
wow.
I mean, but you miss one away game and that's it. So like, yeah. It feels negative to say it, but it feels now like we will win like a handful of away games this season. It's very hard to say at this position, yeah, we're going to, you're going to have a really good opportunity to see us win on the road. And that's hard, right? I mean, this is where the pot, sometimes we get a bit of stick for maybe being negative, but we're going up and down the road every weekend, if you know what I mean. And it just wears you down after a while if you're just not seeing anything. So I totally understand from an emotional, fan base perspective where people are coming from. The plan B thing is a concern, but I think we need to address it in the transfer window a little bit. There's a bit more strengthening that we need to do. We fundamentally started this season with two strikers, right? And this is difficult because we lost our minds a few years ago when we started the season with three strikers, and we're not really talking that much about the two strikers. No. Someone pointed this out to me yesterday, but I think a lot of the issues we are having at the moment, not even plan B, plan A, is just our inability to just actually retain the ball in the final third. And like all these defensive problems, like if you're going to have only 30% possession in games and you're going to have teams coming onto you in waves and they're as good as Peterborough and even half the teams in this division, then you're going to concede goals and mistakes going to happen. The reason the fullbacks are making mistakes is because they're being asked, someone's knocking on the door every 5 minutes of the game. And to be honest, like any fullback in League One is going to start making mistakes if every 5 minutes they're left one-on-one, with some of the best wingers in the division. It's just bound to happen. So it's just, I don't know. There's a lot there. Yeah, there's a lot we need to work out, but it would be nice to come back. Feel like when we're 1-0 down in a game, we can actually come back as well.
Another thing I'm starting to take issue slightly with here, and it's not really kind of really following or too linked to what Casper was saying there, all of which was fair, but like, and this is probably quite anecdotal just because like I'm, as we all are, and as probably everyone listening to this is like so tuned in and focused on our results and everything relating to Cambridge United, but it kind of frustrates me how regularly and how sort of calmly, since we got back into League One, we've just been brushing off, like getting absolutely hammered, like quite regularly away at these big teams, or with the exception of Posh, but teams with the resource that, obviously we can't compete with over a season, of course, but like how many times you walk away from Sheffield Wednesday, like we're joking about it, like last season, like you'd lost 1-6-0, you lost 1-5-0, you go Sunderland, lose 5-1, even like Shrewsbury handed our asses to us last season. You can think back to Wickham coming and doing us at the Abbey, I think it was 4-1 last season. Barnsley beat us 4-1 this season. And you're talking about like we're racking up these absolutely huge score lines, and you look at something like goal difference, obviously it has its impact there, but like I kind of feel like there aren't too many other teams in the division that go away and as regularly as this get absolutely tanked. Like it's such a bad trait of a team to just completely capitulate having conceded one goal or even two goals. Like give yourself something, like give yourself an in back into the game where one goal kind of changes the complexion of the game a little bit. And we just seem routinely incapable of doing that. And again, look, the conversations will start and obviously that'll become louder if results persist. But all the things I think we're talking about here are just structural difficulties that you've got when, the manager's unable to implement the change that, you would like him to. And, I'm not saying like massively advocating for us to swing the axe and part of that, to be honest, is informed by the kind of acceptance that it doesn't matter how well or how badly we do. Nothing at that sort of level of the football club's going to change. So it's going to be a case of get through to January, back him a bit more then and hope that we can make it a little bit more comfortable. And, I think the discussion that we were having on the way back was kind of, maybe there's just, as fans, we need to maybe just kind of sit here and just accept that, look, the priority of the football club at the moment isn't necessarily so much on the pitch. Clearly we want to stay in League One and all this sort of stuff, but if you've got a guy as manager who can you know, in sort of 70% of your games, keep you fairly sort of competitive. And, you know, you stay up fairly comfortably 1 year by the skin of our teeth last season. And, you know, by all accounts this season, it looks like hopefully we're on for, you know, not kind of last day shenanigans, but hopefully a little bit more comfortable than that. That's just kind of fine. And it stings a bit because it's posh away. And obviously it's a one game, you don't want to go like that. But if there's kind of these things happening around the side of it, who kind of cares? And who are we as fans to question people like Paul Barry and Adam and Mark who have put in however many millions they've put in to keep this club going and basically develop it to the point that it's at. But yeah, it's a really frustrating one for me. A really frustrating one.
We had a lot of questions in on these, like, sort of why the points, you know, like, have we pushed on from last season? Like, you know, Bonner's general sort of tactical stubbornness or his drawbacks to his management. But I think we should leave them for another day because...
we'll have plenty of opportunity for it, I should assume.
I'll make
the prediction now. This will be a conversation that we're revisiting in December, asking whether or not we should give them the January window. We'll then give them the January window, and we'll be sat in February having the same conversations. And fundamentally, you know, the definition of success of this football club this season is if we stay up or go down, which is fair, I think, given our resource. And you know, like we said, like we're, you know, at the moment, sort of. I guess factually, in terms of like a points per game analysis, if you like, you know, we're on course to get enough points that will keep us up. But, you know, the worrying thing is the amount of trends that just persist. And last season, it might be slightly revisionist. So we got away with one because, you know, we obviously stay up on the last day by the skin of our teeth. But, you know, we've lost a lot of players who are absolutely crucial to that. And it's just so worrying to see pretty much a lot of similar patterns repeating themselves at similar times of the season.
Yeah.
And obviously, unfortunately, like, I guess this will all come across as like a really big conversation to have out of what is fundamentally just losing one game, albeit that game in that fashion. But I think collectively we're also a little bit scarred by what happened last season. And when you see the same signs and the same things repeating themselves over and over again, you maybe everything's kind of concentrated into this discussion because of when it's taking place, but it's a worrying sign. So I think, you know, we'll sum it up, but I guess like fundamentally, I just think it's the same discussions after Cheltenham, right? I just think a lot of people need to go into work on Monday and look at themselves and just think, am I doing enough to justify my wage? And if you're not, then you need to pull your finger out and give a bit more, whether that's effort, whether it's just quality. Because, you know, if you're a professional footballer at a club in League One, you've got to show something. I don't care what our budget is. You know, you're a professional footballer, like your career footballer. You're not someone who's going to, you know, their next job is going to be like, you know, like a part-time contract or something. Like, you've got to show what you're worth. And if you're not doing that, then the axe should be swung in January on some of these players because, there's work to be done on this squad, I think.
Well, January is a conversation for another time. I just want to, the last thing on point I want to make on yesterday and a lot of this other stuff, I think we'll cover in pods over the next few weeks, as Tom says. So thank you everyone for your questions. We've got so many. So no offense if you didn't get yours read out, but I'm sure we'll try and cover them at some point. The last point I want to make on Posh is about the post-match comments. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to read what Bonner said after the game. It's a question from Jack. He said, as a fan, I genuinely try not to be too self-righteous.
Can I just very quickly butt in here and say that I have kind of stayed away from his post-match comments. So I'm not like watched the interview quite purposefully. So this is of absolutely no benefit to people listening. But for you two specifically, you will see my facial expression.
Reaction straight away.
This is going to be great. Yeah.
Here we go.
I'm not going to read it all out in now because it's quite long, but I'll give you some choice quotes. So Jack's question was, as a fan, I generally try not to be too self-righteous, but should Bonner have given some sort of apology after the game? Not talking anything grovelling, but some recognition for the embarrassment we have to endure watching that. Some choice quotes from Bonner. It's disappointing for all of us. I think everyone will be gutted that we haven't put on a better show or been able to take something from the game. Take something from the game. Lost 5-0. On to the next one and see if we can recover from it. They'll come after us. The supporters will come after us, which is obvious on a day like today. So we'll just have to take our medicine and get on with it. He then said, you'd probably rather have a game on Tuesday. We have to stew on it for 2 weeks, but it is what it is. It's our 10th game in 35 days and it looked like it a bit at times. We need the break. The break will be good for us, I hope. And then the other one that I just want to give you as well is, you'd never have said that the 30 minutes of the game was going to end up like that, but it does, because they take the game away from you. They are where they are for a reason. It hurts me more than anyone to say it. They're miles ahead of us, and they're a really good side and the best we've played by miles. That one got a lot of pickup on Twitter. I think people were pretty... it's just what I expected him to say. I'm sort of with Jack on this. I'm not... Again, it's the same thing as, like, you know, why are there no cards? It's very, like, football-y sort of opinion. But, like, I would expect a manager to have a little sorry after losing 5-0 on Derby Day, wouldn't you, Caspel? Little apology. I'm sorry that we had to endure that. Whoever fault it was, it feels like a basic thing, like a little tick list. Like, it shouldn't annoy me, really, but do you see what I mean?
I see what you mean. I don't think it's in his nature. Noxie's not a good bloke. I just think he's obviously thought about that. He's very, like, introspective guy, right? That's like a conscious choice, I would say. I sort of respect it in a weird way, because it's like, it's unyielding, right? It's, you know, we give them a ton of credit when they go and win a game. We go and win a game 5-0, which obviously is feeling a bit rare recently. Do you know what I mean? It's difficult for that to swing both ways in a sort of weird way. Like, do we apologise to Bonner when, you know, like, we don't really have the same opportunity in the same way? So I can understand, but I think we also have to be careful and not to be too macabre. But to Tom's point earlier, like, there's probably another 5-0 defeat coming. Like, what happens if you end up... What if that happens quite soon? Like,
one's against Posh. Like, it goes right back to what you were saying at the start. It's like, I'm not that bothered about it if we're at Bolton or Pompey. But, like, today, he knows as well as anyone how embarrassing that exact result would have been for us and for him. So,
which he alluded to be fair, right? Like, I mean, the thing... Yeah. Obviously, you've read some quotes out, which is the only thing we could do here. I've watched the video, and he is in pain. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he does say, like, you know, I know more than anyone what
means. It is clear. Like, I mean, sometimes, just reading it written on paper or whatever isn't quite the same. You can see it's there. I've got to defend him. He's done so much for us, right? Like, I know we say it a lot, but he still has a huge amount of credit in the bank for everything that he's achieved over the last 2.5 years, 3 years, whatever it's been now. So, same thing I was saying earlier, like, obviously it's not our job to be pragmatic. I can totally understand why people would get upset, particularly because it's Derby Day. It's the biggest ever result in a Derby game now. It's in the history books, and they will still be talking about it in 20 years' time, unfortunately. So, like, it is quite a scarring thing. But I guess with some of the stuff a manager says in their post-match, they're trying to draw heat away from players, right? He's not the kind of guy, right? He's not the kind of guy who's going to start bombing out players. I think it's very rare that he ever...
I'm not asking him to single out individuals. I'm not saying that. Like, he doesn't have to come and have the discussion that we've had about, you know, maybe Liam Bennett not being up to it for, you know, for a few weeks. And he doesn't have to come out and say, fuck me, Adam May embarrassed himself, didn't he? And that, you know, for that fourth goal. But, like, is there anything wrong with him coming out and saying, like, you know what, some of these guys haven't earned their pay packet this week, and they need to look themselves. I'm the manager, so I obviously take the brunt of it, and obviously that's the way that football is. But, like, you know, some of them need to look at themselves as well. Is there anything wrong with him coming out and...
In fairness, in recent weeks, he's sort of alluded to that. And this is more like when, you know, fringe players have been playing inside. He has, like, dug them out a bit for not playing up to the quality that he expects. And that strikes me as a not very, like... It strikes me as a different sort of narrative from him than what he normally says.
And I think, like, I agree with, you know, everything that Castle's been saying there. And you know, clearly... Again, like, just to you know, reiterate it, like, you know, a lot of this is emotion led at the moment because of obviously what happened yesterday, and, you know, like I've said earlier on, you know, as a whole, you know, if you take out the context of it and just look at the season as kind of an overall thing, we're actually doing okay, but perhaps even compared to budget and stuff, better than we would have expected, I guess. You know, we're obviously around that sort of mid table bit. But I think the discussion around it is just more nuanced than, you know, what it typically tends to be boiled down to, which is, are you Bonner in or are you Bonner out? Like, all the stuff about credit in the bank and what he's done for us, like, all that stuff is still true. But, like, on the other side of it, there's a lot of parts of his management that just simply need to get better. And obviously, you know, I'm looking at that because I want the football club to do as well as possible, and obviously, you know, I want us to win games and stuff like that. But even for him, like personally, like I'm sure, you know, despite the, obviously the connection he's got with the club, like there was a time, what, 12, 13 months ago, where we're talking about this guy getting championship moves and championship offers and all this sort of stuff. They're not coming if these things don't improve. You know, obviously, given everything else that we've talked about, loads and loads and loads about all the good work that Bonner's done, you know, that's obviously, I guess, in a sense, a good thing, because you know, you obviously want him to be your manager, you want him to be the one that does the job well. But unfortunately, if they don't improve, like, it starts impacting on our results and our performances, and that's obviously fundamentally what we're more interested in. But yeah, again, anyway, all conditioned by the idea that look, we're gonna back the manager, and I kind of respect it a little bit as well. You know, from the owners, you know, he's our guy. We'll back him come what may. And yeah, you know, we just got to move on. I would argue that Northampton away is probably the least ideal next fixture for there to be. But fuck me, I hope they're in early doors Monday morning, and I hope they're running a lot because between now and then, because yeah, big improvement needed. Because you know what, I remember in our pre-season pod saying, oh well, because of all the sort of local games that we've got and all the rest of it, this could end up being like one of our most enjoyable seasons for God knows how long. We've been beaten by Stevenage, we've been hammered by Posh, and now we go to Northampton,
and we lost to Orient.
We lost to Orient. Yeah,
there's another one. Northampton and Charlton next, lads. Right, look, let's wrap this up. Thank you everyone for staying with us up to the bitter end here. Lots of emotion, obviously, tempering a lot of things that we say. A couple of things to end with. Firstly, obviously, there's no game next week, so there won't be a preview pod or a Monday pod, but there is two special episodes going out, two very different episodes, which will drop in your podcast feeds on the same days, on Thursday and Monday, so look forward to those. Another plug for the FSA Awards. You know, we are probably in the top six most emotionally broken podcasts, so do give us that credit. Vote in the episode description for Club Podcast of the Year, which we've been nominated for again, which is brilliant, and would love your vote. And then just to finish off, and I feel a bit sorry for him that this is the pod that he's going to get his shout out, but we had a message from Cassandra, which is Adam Tarasevich's girlfriend, partner, and she's asked us to give him a birthday shout out for his birthday, which is on the 15th of November. So happy birthday, Adam. Adam obviously covers our women's team. I'm sure Saturday was just the present.
What
that you
a
needed,
gift.
Mate. What a gift.
Many happy returns.
God. Yeah, poor thing. Yeah.
The women's team got knocked out of the FA Cup today as well. So.
I didn't know that. And I'm not like, obviously, it's not a good thing, but you know what? When it rains, it pours at times, right?
Yeah, I know. What a weekend for you, Adam, but do enjoy your birthday. And there you go. Boys, let's wrap this up.
Thank God.
Thank God. Caspel, thank you. Well, I would normally say thank you, so something like that. Thank you.
Mate, you're more than welcome.
Thank you for lending me your opinions.
Oh, you're welcome anytime.